When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Football Ramble, coming from very sunny London.
It's so warm in here.
I'm in my pants.
You are in your pants,
in
Luke. Pants.
I'm in a vest, imagine that.
Wife-beating vest.
Pete and I are decent, just about. James or Jim Campbell is here.
Hello.
Pete Donaldson's here.
Hello.
Lukey Moore is here.
All right.
Lovely to have you with me, chaps, otherwise it would be very lonely. Just before we start, we said this last week on the show. Just to remind you that we have teamed up with Man Month, which can be found at manmonth.co.uk, which is brought to you by the IGN Network and 1 Million Fragrance for Men. If you go over to manmonth.co.uk, you'll have some lovely Ramble blogs, some Ramble videos. We've already got one up there.
Yeah, there's more to come.
Yes. More to come. There's more every week. And there's also things to be won over there, Luke.
There are indeed. So, thanks, Marcus.
That's it.
If you enter the competition over at manmonth.co.uk, you have a chance to win some pretty good things. Things like a home cinema system, an Xbox 360, a PS3, and with lovely football games. You pick a number between 1 and a million.
99.
No, Pete, we've done this before. You can't do it. You can't enter.
Oh, I'm so angry.
So you pick a number between 1 and a million. 1 and a million, sorry.
One
and
million.
From the 4th of June onwards, a number will be pulled out at random, and that lucky winner will win all those amazing prizes, which we're not eligible for.
Gutting.
But yeah, do go over to manmonth.co.uk. There's loads of extra stuff on there. You can, of course, listen to our World Cup rambles on iTunes and thefootballramble.com as well. Mm-hmm. And from the start of the World Cup, we'll be doing 2 a week. And that's all brought to you by the IGN Network and 1 Million Fragrance for Men.
And let's not forget, we're out there in Johannesburg for out loud over.
I do keep forgetting that. It's so hot here. I don't need all of that.
Let's go to the South African winter to cool down.
We're going
to
be broadcasting live, or if not live, it's close to live.
Almost live.
How live do you want, jerkanoid?
We'll be alive.
Be alive. Yes.
It's going to be a really stressful time, because I don't know if the listeners really know this, but we don't really get on off mic, so it's going to be...
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that'll be for the last week of the World Cup.
Yeah.
Right, let's press on to pressing matters. There's an opening question to be asked. Chaps, favourite goal from a European Cup / Champions League final, James or Jim?
I'm going to jump straight in there with Zidane's incredible volley against Bayer Leverkusen.
Great shout.
Just such a good goal in any game, but to do it on that stage, was such a sort of precise, curling volley.
The technique was unbelievable.
Yeah, when you say stage, Hampden Park, the spiritual home of football.
Yes.
Yeah. Because Zidane was quite average till he played there.
Exactly. Yeah, it was probably that sort of gave him so much skill.
Montreal, how has he done?
Pete, what have you got for us?
I have a very short memory, Marcus, as well know. So I'm going to go for Messi's header last season.
I thought you were going to go for Diego Milito.
Yeah. I don't remember that. Where was that? was that not even 24 hours ago?
Messi's even better, because at half time, I think it was, or maybe before the game, Venables, T-Ven.
The singer.
Yeah, T-Ven. Author of the Venn diagram, that's not true, said that Messi's never likely to score with his head. And he did. Yeah.
He's an imbecile.
Brilliantly. That's he rose like a salmon.
In mating season.
Yeah. That's good at football.
Good shout. Good shout, Messi. Good recent one.
Luke.
I'll flip reverse it on you and go old school. 68. United versus Benfica. Georgie Best.
Yeah.
There's only one Georgie Best.
Iconic.
Rounded the keeper.
Slotted it. delivered Manchester United's first European Cup trophy.
And that's what a big player does, a big game player.
As well, I mean, we're talking about Hamden and how that sort of made Zidane, obviously, but it would be difficult for Best as well, because, you know, playing on a black and white pitch at night, it's difficult. It'd be really hard to even see the ball. Very so difficult. To do something so intricate is really impressive. Yeah.
Keeper was wearing the same kit as him as well.
Yeah,
so.
I'm going to go for Dejan Savicevic.
Oh!
For AC Milan against Barcelona.
Mm. In the 4-0 win.
It was in the early 90s.
Mm. I think that's the biggest scoreline in a final, isn't it?
It was 94,
I
think.
91 or 92.
Okay, fine.
And they beat 4-0. Barcelona 4-0, you're right. And his goal, it was a lob from like the corner of the box, I think, over the keeper.
Lovely stuff.
Superb player. He was excellent in World Cup 90 as well.
Mm, yeah. Points mean prizes. Go on, James. Or
yes!
Get in.
I'd like to thank the people of Scotland.
Pete's stunned into silence.
Only because he's got a vest on and he's shown a bit of arm.
Exactly. Yeah. Everyone's frightened of me.
It's actually the shoulder that I'm interested in. Let's talk about this Champions League Cup win from Inter. Did I get there?
Good just
enough.
About.
Inter Milan have won 2-0. I say that as if the final whistle's just blown.
Sky is still showing it. So.
Richard Keyes
is refusing to leave
off
the studio. No, I need it.
I want this moment to last forever.
Jose's going to be here next season, so
can
I
you
can't
put me
go
on the Spanish football? Put me on the Spanish football.
Gabriel Melita said he was absolutely happy.
Good.
Absolutely happy. How happy are you? Absolutely.
Yeah. His second goal was unbelievable.
Class, wasn't it?
It's brilliant.
He took those two goals beautifully.
On his right foot, though, so I mean, I would like to see a bit of left foot at all.
Yeah. Would you? Right.
Yeah, he's got high standards. Being from Hartlepool, the footballing hotbed of Hartlepool. That was
extremely
hard. I didn't watch the ITV coverage, but Sky's coverage was okay. Apparently, ITV focused on Mourinho for the last minute of the match, so you didn't actually see the players celebrating. Well,
surely the pictures are all the same, though, because I think they'll be doing that on Sky. It's all the same feed,
right?
Isn't it?
Okay, yeah, probably. That's probably true, actually. Yeah, I didn't think about that. But Sky seemed okay.
What were you watching then?
Well, people were moaning about the ITV coverage quite a lot.
Oh, it was literally seconds. They started. But he was already celebrating. He was sort of saying like sort of congratulations and shaking hands with all his own team.
Before
he'd actually finish, and then he wanted to concentrate on getting a lot of camera time. So he's like,
yeah, he does make it all about him, doesn't he?
Because obviously he was Van Gaal's understudy at Barcelona.
Mm. It's been a personal revenge mission, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's taken out everybody that's ever wronged him.
His entire life.
Van Gaal said that he was quite surprised how well Jose's done in his career, but he said he was always good, and he said when they were working together at Barcelona, he actually let Jose sort of like take charge of a couple of games and stuff.
Wow.
Which is huge, really.
Yeah.
He said that Mourinho texted him after they both reached the final, saying big hugs before the game, big hugs after the game.
Oh,
lovely, isn't it?
Bear hugs during.
it's such an achievement.
Hugs
for Inter to win the treble. And because he's had a lot
never
of
been
stick
done
in Italy, hasn't he?
Never been done.
It's absolutely incredible achievement.
I love it in the season where everyone's talking about, oh, it's first time Chelsea have done the double. Oh, Mourinho didn't do that. Well, I'll go one better. I'll beat
that
you on the way to the treble.
Do you see that? Times it by 0.5.
Yeah.
He's finishing there at Inter. He couldn't have won much more.
He did it with same with Porto.
That's what he does, isn't he? He wins the Champions League and then he goes off somewhere else, waits a bit and wins it again. Chelsea would have probably have won it by now with that stat when you look at it.
Don't times it by 0.5, just add 50%.
Makes no sense.
That works.
Yeah.
Or divide it by
0.5. No, too much.
Okay. Did you see after the game, Richard Keyes said, he knew, didn't he? You just get the impression the whole season he knew he was going to win from the start. Yeah, even Jamie Redknapp's going, I'm literally not sure about that.
Oh, that's literally untrue. Oh,
literally, show your literal working out, Key.
Andy Gray as well was saying, you know, he looks very, very emotional tonight. You know, did you think this is maybe a sort of a clue to where his future lies? He's just won the Champions League.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, he's emotional.
Mm.
Yeah. Gray nearly ruined the whole thing for me, I have to say.
He ruined the weekend.
What did he do?
Just him.
I was watching ITV's fine, fine coverage.
Okay. Van Gaal was very humble in defeat, I thought. He even said before the game, didn't he, that we were lucky against Manchester United.
Yeah.
Not as the ramble, as in Bayern Munich.
Van Gaal had a bit of work done. He's got his very smooth skinned, and he's a bit of an egotist. So I wouldn't put it past him having a bit of work
I was surprised when he said that, because
I was.
Like Pete says, he's If he's made of chocolate, he'd eat himself, wouldn't he, James?
Absolutely, yeah. It's a real shame Ribéry was missing. I know people are always going to point back to that. It was kind of a classic Italian display, really, wasn't it? It's interesting that they haven't really taken to Jose in Italy, because the way he sets up his teams is classically Italian. It's sort of the epitome of that sort of almost like Roman Empire-style Italian game. Just soak everything up and then destroy!
Divide and conquer.
Yeah.
He's a pragmatist, Mourinho. I don't think he is...
Can you imagine being a striker coming up against...
They're like an impenetrable wall in the Champions League.
Or they're literally like hitting a wall, if Jamie Redknapp is to be believed.
The Wolves are the Samwell. Brilliant. You just get...
It's an awesome... If Zanetti sits in there at left back, which I know he didn't do last night, but it was Kivu, but if he did... it's an all South American back five. And one thing I will say is you've got to give Mourinho credit, because they have scored an awful lot of goals this season. Inter.
Yeah, 99, isn't it?
Is it 99? Okay, yeah.
I liked how when Mike on like would surge forward, he'd always come back. He wouldn't just sort of stroll back and wait for someone. He'd absolutely peg it back. Mm. He's such a hard working player.
Would you like to play left back for England in the World Cup against Brazil, Michael and Dani Alves on the right?
Would
you like to play there?
I don't think you'd play Alves in front of him.
Amazing if he did though.
He needs a whole side to himself. Exactly. Maybe he can do the touchline.
Yeah. I think I'd accept that invitation and then deeply regret it.
Did you see Mourinho
right about the second
when you're scraped off the pitch?
Did you see Mourinho's kid?
Yeah, I did.
He's got a funny Vulcan style face. That's worrying.
Jose Junior on the back or something.
He goes, "Will he be at Real Madrid next season?" And he goes, "No." And Mourinho went, bah, 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 bah. He didn't really know what to say. For the first time, I think Mourinho was actually lost words. He went, "I'm the crazy," bah, bah, and he just started mumbling.
I'm convinced that the Sky pundits think that Jose Mourinho is actually some sort of kind of deity, some sort of supernatural being from another world. They can't get their head around the fact he's just a very good manager.
Did you see that? Did you see that picture in the crowd that somebody had superimposed his face onto Christ's body?
Didn't he say something along the lines of, "If we win, we are winners. If we lose, we are just members of a losing team"?
Yeah.
Interesting philosophy there.
Well, they were talking, Souness on Sky, didn't think that Jose was going to go to Real Madrid, because he says the way he plays, he doesn't win with style.
Souness just likes Jose Mourinho.
I don't think people go on about his style of playing. He wasn't that boring at Chelsea, were they?
If they need to grind out a win, they will do that.
But I think very flary players.
At Chelsea, though, under Mourinho, they seem to just be able to win every game 4-0. If the opposition weren't sort of up to it, then they'd easily just sort of thrash teams. But I think what maybe people like Souness are talking about is it'd be the games against Man United, the games against Liverpool, like the FA Cup. A lot of the FA Cup games where they ground out those results. And I know what Souness is saying, because Real Madrid want everything, but I think he'll be their Galactico this summer.
He's a big name.
I think they'll probably just tell him, "We want you to play like attractive football." They'll probably just complete. It's not going to work, is it?
No.
It's not going to.
The thing is, though, has Pellegrini actually been?
Well, no, but this is. I feel sorry for Pellegrini. He might well have done by the time this comes out. But the one thing just before we finish is Mourinho said, you know, about his playing style. He said, "But Inter, we've got very slow players. We're a very slow team. We have to play to our strengths." And I think he's done that.
You can't slow Cristiano Ronaldo down.
No, exactly.
Can't take anything away from him.
I think he's done absolutely not. I just hope if he does go to Real Madrid that they let him be him.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Talking of great managers, Ian Holloway.
Oh, he's done well. Done ever so well.
He's got that woman in the taxi, hasn't he?
Yeah, and she's a stunner.
I saw another one of his they played over the weekend where he said, "You know, knowing my luck at the moment, if I was thrown in a pit of boobs, I'd come up sucking my thumb."
Yeah, good one.
Didn't he have like a real like State of the Nation rant as well about footballers getting paid too much money?
It was wonderful.
Like
it was absolutely wonderful.
It's one of those
things
when he's like, he's one of those people that if you ask him a question and don't stop or interject or rein him in, he'll just talk.
Yeah. And he'll talk himself into a corner as well.
And it'll start off talking about the front pairing at Blackpool, and it'll end up talking about the sort of excavation of King Tutankhamun.
But he actually said, you know, when talking about the whole financial thing, because he made a lot of that. But bearing in mind, this is Blackpool. And was it £90 million?
Well, where's this come out at?
I've never heard this figure before.
That's an outrageous figure.
To be honest, if you take into account that even if you stayed in the Premier League for one season and got relegated again, the Sky TV money would be about £30 million. The parachute payment's coming back down like £40 million. Yeah, so that's 70 already.
Mm. So, yeah, that's what... I think that's what the £90 million comes from. It's the TV money the first time and the parachute payments over 2 years. Doesn't mean it's...
Well, they've been extended now.
Yeah,
for 4 years.
He started,
it's a lot of money anyway.
He started going on about, you know, what has happened to our league? You know, and he actually went, "What has happened to our world?"
He actually said that.
I see.
Great stuff.
I tell you what, he's
Oi, in the style of an African nation during the World Cup, sack him. Get a big name in.
Spend.
Yeah.
That'll be a kick in the knackers.
I can't wait to see how Blackpool do in the Premier League, because they're really refreshingly sort of cut and thrust, you know, really attacking. There was a lot of people saying, oh, either side, if they defend like that in the Premier League, then you know they're going to get busted straight out. But it's not fair to judge a team on a playoff final. Do you know what I mean? It's such a big occasion.
One-off game. So sorry for Cardiff. Yeah. They have been up there all the time.
They're in a lot
but
of
as you said, Luke,
well.
Blackpool hit form at the right time.
It's all about momentum. You see it time and time again.
It's like Hull a couple of seasons ago.
Mm. It is.
And it was unfortunate that Jay Bothroyd got taken off so early. That might have had a bearing.
Chopra was playing very, very well.
He was absolutely brilliant.
Scored a brilliant
goal. He's a funny one, isn't he? Because whenever he's been in the Premier League, he's not quite cut it, but he's so good in the Championship. It'd be nice to see him get another shot.
He's a new Huckabee.
Yeah.
He looks a bit like Huckabee.
He hit the bar twice as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
One thing, I mean, in fairness, in the Championship anyway, I'm not too sure about the two lower divisions, but in the Championship, it generally does go to form. So the team who's finished highest in the playoffs, third or fourth, do tend to go up. I think percentage-wise, they do tend to go up a bit.
I remember Palace was sixth, and they caught
up. Blackpool hit such good form. And yeah, they do leave gaps at the back. I think you're right, James. It's not really fair to judge one that game, because it's a one-off game. It wasn't essentially a cup final.
Yeah.
But they do need, I mean, they're going to need to strengthen so
much. Of course, yeah.
Because I'll tell you something, as a Pompey fan, I know, it does get quickly boring getting absolutely battered every week.
Yeah. Didn't they say, because Clark Carlisle, Burnley defender, was in the studio, didn't they say, oh, well, because they've gone up now, as if to say, would you mind going over there? And he sort of went, well, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, as we've said before, Holloway's used the loan system really well, and maybe that's something that he'll look into to extending. I mean, DJ Campbell's there on loan, isn't he? I'm sure hopefully they'll sign him.
So's that boy Dobby as well from Swansea. But the thing is, it depends which attitude they take now they've been promoted. Do they go down the sort of Pompey spend as much as you can route, or do they go down the Burnley sort of consolidate route? You know,
yeah.
It'd be nice to see him give it a go, though.
Yeah. I mean, you can do both, I think.
Hopefully,
you just have to be damn good. I can't wait to see what he comes out with.
Somebody made a good point in the Facebook forum. Stanley Matthews, two teams, Blackpool Stoke playing each other the next season.
Yeah, that's nice.
David James put in a bid, if you like, to be the Portsmouth player manager.
I'm not sure how much truth there is in that, because if you read the actual quotes, it doesn't explicitly say that.
Okay.
I know a player or two has thrown his hat into the ring. I heard that Richard Hughes has as well.
Well, the administrator, Portsmouth's administrator, said no, it's too soon for David James to be considered as the club's new manager. Who's he to say
that? Yeah, that really annoys me, because I've seen that guy. There was footage of that guy on Match of the Day too, signing autographs for people. Oh. It's just wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's there to do his job, and you know, I'm sure he gets a lot of stick that he maybe doesn't deserve, because he is just
like
doing his job. But he shouldn't be coming out like sort of talking in any sort of kind of realm that involves anything to do with the playing side of it. It's nothing to do with him. Luke, it has as much to do. It has more to do with you than it does with him.
But I think with him, the thing that Portsmouth proved that they can't run their own football.
what the
administrator's argument probably is we need a manager who can keep us certainly in the Championship and can consolidate our position as a football club.
It would be a risk.
It's just a grey area, though. You are right, Johnny. It's a bit of a grey area. It's a bit like a paramedic turning up to a car crash taking photos. Do you know what I mean? You're there to do a job, get it on with it, and get it done as quickly and as well as you can. Don't worry about autographs and talk about the playing side. Just balance the books, get a plan together, and get it done. I mean, if it's going
to
take...
I hope he's listening.
To be fair, if somebody comes up and says, can I have your autograph, and you're the administrator, I mean...
You say, I'm the administrator of it? What do you want my autograph for?
Yeah. Is it a cheque?
Yeah. Probably was. It's a George Avery for a cheque. So can you sign that for me? Can I have that 500 quid, whatever it is? No, seriously.
Maybe it was Peter Story, who knows?
Yeah,
just trying to rinse every last penny.
Well, if that's the best decision from a financial and business point of view, to take a player manager on a quite a low wage and give him a chance, I mean, it can work. Look what happened with Eddie Howe, you know? So it could work. But one thing I would say, to just follow up on what Marcus said, is that it is too soon for James, just purely because David James is obviously wants to carry on playing for another couple of years. So that's probably why.
He probably doesn't even have his badges, does he?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think you need to.
Meg's turn in.
Listen, less of that. That's how rumours start.
That's how things happen.
Yeah.
World Cup chat time. Yes.
My favourite chat time.
Another person to be ruled out of the finals is Diarra for France.
Lassana Diarra.
Diarra, yes.
Lass.
Too many Diarras for my liking.
Well, there's one less now.
Yeah.
Well, that's a shame.
You got your way.
Was he caught in an undolphin-friendly net?
Oh, He's a Pompey Hall of Famer, I'll have you know. It's a show of a bit of respect.
Well, he looks like a dolphin. Whatever Hall of Fame.
What's wrong with him? What's happened to him?
It was a stomach.
Oh, was it?
Maybe he had diarrhea.
You knew it. It was his stomach, didn't you? You knew. It was a trap.
Diarrhea.
He's nothing if not an opportunist.
It is a shame, though, that he's missing the World Cup.
Yeah. But let's cheapen it.
I'm not playing, sure.
He's a great player, Diarra. He's a great player.
He will miss out on the team hiking up a glacier, though.
Is that Dominic's latest crazy skin?
Glacier?
Huh?
A glacier?
Yeah.
That's mental.
There's polar bears on them. I saw the packaging of some mints.
Do you reckon Laurent Blanc's on the phone saying, seriously, Ramon, I've got to look after these players after you, so make sure none of them get killed.
Yeah. Maybe that is his plan. He's just so bitter. There's not going to be a French squad.
He's taking it to Waco.
Yeah.
See if you can get to a World Cup final with this lot. They did this before, though. In 2006, they went up there, this glacier, and I think probably Domenech thinks it was a lucky charm, or you know what he's like with his.
I'll say he definitely thinks
superstitions. In 2006, apparently there was a bit of controversy because Coupe, the goalkeeper, he left the French camp because he was furious because Fabien Barthez refused to participate in the climb.
Did he?
Why be so angry about what someone else does and then do it yourself?
I have no idea.
I heard Zidane knocked the top of a glacier with his head. He went, boom!
I can imagine Zidane sat up a glacier but actually being quite serene, like
reading.
A sort of Tibetan monk.
Well, apparently that's actually got involved with the old Champions League final, the Matrix, didn't he? Came on, late doors.
He did, with lots of tattoo sleeve.
Apparently they were going to spend the night up there. So hopefully they've packed some frankfurters around the camp.
It would melt the glacier.
Would
I'd have said Kendall mint cake.
Would you?
Yeah. Doesn't have to be cooked. Very high source of energy.
Ah. Take note. Hikers.
Asharvin told me.
but Dominic did say that after this they'll be in the ideal condition to go to the World Cup. And he said it's mostly individual programmes adapted to what each player needs to do.
Maybe he's going to freeze them so they can't get injury and then store them out.
I love it how you think an individual programme suited to each player, obviously. Well, we're bound to find that array of options up a glacier, aren't we?
You go up a glacier, you go to the Andes, you hot, you cold.
In my head, it's just like Lord of the Rings, the first one. Dominesh is Gandalf.
I just get him to train.
Old fashioned,
James. Traditionalist. Grandad.
Shuttle runner.
How do you think France will make an impression on the tournament?
What I'll say, just before you boys jump in, is that.
It's very good of you.
No, I'm from the.
Coupe.
Selfless. I think there's always going to be a team, every World Cup, a big team who slips up, and I've got a feeling this year it might be France.
Is that a pun on them going up a glacier?
Yeah. They're going to slip up between now and the World Cup.
They've got an all right group, though. Surely they'll get through that one.
Uruguay, Mexico and South Africa.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And Uruguay, they've had a terrible.
They
didn't qualify very well.
Playoffs.
No.
I think it's so difficult. They got pipped to the play. It's so difficult to predict though because you just don't know.
Yeah. Apparently qualifying.
Thanks for that, Luke.
Qualifying rarely has a bearing on how teams actually play in the tournament, though. Apparently the stats bear that out. I've read before, so it will be interesting to see what happens with teams like France because they have been in disarray for such a long time.
Yeah, and it's
disarraymond, you might say.
The coach is so unpopular as well.
Mm.
Argentina's 23-man squad has been announced, and fortunately, Milito is going to be there because I think we thought that Palermo was going to go ahead of him. However, they're all going. The strikers that
he's gone for six strikes, hasn't he?
Messi, Higuain, Tevez, Aguero, Milito, Palermo.
He didn't draw much in qualifying, did he, Maradona?
Do you not know?
At all. It was like a win or a loss. You can see this,
South American Rupert's got a lot to answer for because he touted Milito was going to miss out.
He did.
Mm.
But
imagine if he had a done score in those two.
God.
Yeah.
But he hasn't, so.
Yeah. He's gone for six strikers, which is not unsurprising because it's Maradona.
Yeah. I mean, Di Maria is an incredibly attack minded player as well. Yeah. That's almost having another striker in there.
Yeah, absolutely. But in fairness, in response to that, though, Aguero will probably play deeper.
Okay,
He's put in that. Is it Garza?
Garza, yeah.
He's played one match against Haiti.
That gives you a measure of how sort of short out at the back. And they've got Otamendi, who's decent. But the thing is with Di Michaelis is that he's obviously just won the league and the cup with Bayern. He's got to the Champions League final, but he still looks like a really bad player.
Yeah,
he looks shaky. Right, yeah, yeah.
He looks like he could be quite easily rattled.
I think you'll see. I know I just said we're not going to make predictions, but the only thing I will predict about Maradona's Argentina is they'll score a lot, but they'll concede a lot, I think.
Yeah. I mean, anything could happen with them. They could not get through the group. They could have a decent run. I honestly don't think they'll win it. I mean, I know I've just said that qualifying rarely sort of affects the actual tournaments, but they have been so chaotic, and no one's got a clue.
But Jimbo, take Diego Maradona out of that equation and stick in someone like Hiddink.
Yeah, all right, and then put Maradona back.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
That's what's happening.
You wouldn't, you wouldn't even have to say Hiddink, you know.
Yeah,
but
Ian Holloway.
Yeah,
he'll deal with a big personality.
Venables.
Imagine like oh great, the players like, we finally got rid of Maradona, he was a weirdo, who's this, Ian Holloway? Oh.
Maybe just don't have anyone, just let them like work it out between themselves.
Yeah, I think they'd be okay. Or Riquelme, player coach,
yeah,
maybe. But the bigger news coming from Argentina, it obviously doesn't focus around the footballers, it focuses around Maradona himself. Just before he was going to announce the team, he...
Was it on the way to the press conference?
Possibly. He injured a cameraman after accidentally running over his leg.
And then he had a massive pop at the cameraman.
I'll tell you what, the gift that keeps on giving.
I know.
he was driving to a news conference and they were all crowded around his car. And he went forward and he went over this cameraman's leg and he shouted out the window, "What an arsehole you are. How can you put your leg there where it can get run over, man?"
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. When this came out, Luke, you actually sent an email around to all of us that just said, "It begins."
It is superb.
Tune in next week for more Maradona-esque
stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Portugal.
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 Cristiano Ronaldo has made quite some staggering announcement. He said, "I don't play alone and I can't perform miracles. We will have to be well collectively to win the World Cup." No, I mean,
surely this is the wrong source in this conversation. Surely this is the other half of that conversation with someone telling Ronaldo that.
Yeah, that's right.
Because the amount of time he tries to be Roy of the Rovers is crazy.
He's never really done Roy of the Rovers at international level.
You've always said that's because Deco's the main man at Portugal, but he isn't really now.
That sounds that's mental to me. However good Deco's been, come on.
Well, Deco, it's about personalities around and the fact that there's obviously the aura he's got and the respect he commands.
Deco's a bit older now. I mean,
and Brazilian.
Yes. He might be on his way to Fluminense, incidentally, but. Oh.
Flumalazy.
That as well.
Can you see what I think of Deco?
Yeah. Yeah. I can.
Spell it out.
Just from that bulge in your trails. how do you think Portugal will do?
I think they have got a real chance of missing out there because, I mean, in Africa, the Ivory Coast, you'd think they may be stronger. We're yet to see if it's going to work out that way. And obviously Brazil, you'd think will qualify through there. North Korea... I'm not going to say it. I don't know. I really think Portugal might be a really high-profile scalp in that group.
But it's worth pointing out that what Cristiano Ronaldo will inevitably try and do for Portugal, there's every chance Drogba will try and do for Ivory Coast. It's his last hurrah. It's his last big tournament. He'll want to do well.
Well, that's Drogba's, obviously, not Ronaldo's. Yeah,
So Drogba will try... that's what Drogba will be. It'll be like the one-man show.
He's had such a good season, and he's got such resources in him. He's got such stamina. He's so strong. I can't see him tiring.
He's got strength.
He's got strength in oodles.
We have seen from the last game of the season, though, that he does like a bit of personal glory. So you might have a point, Luke. You never know.
I'm not sure how popular he is amongst the rest of the players. I mean, I know Adebayor was pretty unpopular amongst Togo.
I think it's very different, because Drogba's seen as like a saint in the Ivory Coast, because he's built loads of hospitals and stuff, and fair play to him, that is brilliant. So I think, to my knowledge, it's not like it's the Adebayor situation.
But mate, listen, maybe we'll go for the group sort of group by group next week or something, but that is undoubtedly the group of death. No doubt.
Oh, God,
There's one big team's going to miss out there.
We'll do our predictions next week, but I was thinking about this week. Team that's going to do very well. Semi-finals, Netherlands.
Netherlands?
The Netherlands.
Or Holland.
They destroyed everyone in their group in qualifying.
But Holland are another one like this, aren't they? I mean, look at Euro 2008.
They started off
really, really well.
They've got such an easy group as well.
Have they?
Well, I don't know.
Denmark, Japan and Cameroon.
Denmark?
No, I think that's
for the Netherlands.
They'll beat Denmark.
Yeah.
They'll beat Japan and Cameroon as well. Well, maybe not Cameroon, but maybe a draw.
Maybe a loss. They might have qualified by then.
Match could be abandoned.
I've said before, I'm looking forward to seeing Chile play.
Yeah, you've touted Chile for a while now.
Paraguay as well.
The trouble is for Chile, they will get either most likely Brazil in the next round for Chile.
But the thing is, you said that before, and I said if there's any team equipped to beat Brazil, it'll be a fellow South American team. And I'll tell you, I've got a little word to the wise for you chaps.
There we go. Please.
I fancy Spain to do alright this year.
Oh, that's out of left field.
Joint favourite Spain.
Actually, Spain's squad just makes you jealous, doesn't it, really?
Makes you want to cry.
Unbelievable. I mean, the players they've added since they won Euro 2008 and the quality of them, players like Jesus Navas and Juan Mata, just bloody hell,
they're
stop
midfield. They're all domestic players as well. They all know each other. They all play each other week in, week out. That's the scary thing. They all know what everybody does.
Pedro's in the 23.
Yeah, he's done well.
I'm pleased for him, though.
Watch him come on as an impact. In him and Navas, they're going to have the biggest impact players in the tournament.
Well, at the World Cup, the penalty takers, who like to run up and halt their run, wait for the keeper to move and then slot it in, they're not going to be allowed to do it. Personally, I thought they weren't allowed to do it anyway.
I think this is just a case of the law being more firmly enforced, isn't it? Because they've been told that anyway.
Well, the International Football Association Board, IFAB have said it's unsporting behaviour and have made it a yellow card offence.
That could be really interesting when it inevitably comes to a penalty shootout for somebody. I think, you know, if you're going to go on and win the tournament, you probably need to win one game on penalties.
But it could
be really stop-starty, couldn't it? You might even get players getting sent off in a penalty shootout. Has that ever happened before? Can that happen?
That's very true.
Well, if they can't do it, they won't do it. But, I mean, it just... what constitutes a stop and start? I mean,
exactly, that's what I mean, though, because sometimes that's a very, very subtle little feint. And
you see a couple in South America, and there's also one, as Marcus said to me earlier, which was in the Champions League final with Ronaldo.
Yeah. Cristiano Ronaldo.
He obviously missed it. Yeah. But that was ridiculous.
But I thought that was illegal anyway.
Well, I always thought it was, yeah.
Well, see, this is what I mean, though. Players keep doing it. It's obviously a habit that's quite hard to break. So, you know, I'm going to stick my neck out and say that might actually happen.
Did you
Someone's
see...
sent off in a shootout. That's my sensible prediction.
That's what Diana Ross did in 94. She stopped for mistake, that one. Yeah, yeah. And, but
the goal ended up being broken.
Did you see that? I think we put it on Rambletube a while ago, like that five-a-side. It seemed to be some sort of, like... It might even have been a football match where...
Futsal match.
And the guy comes to take a penalty and he does a 360 spin. The keeper dives on the floor and then he's passed into the keeper's hands.
That's not fair.
It was such a stupid Michael Jackson
style
spin. Oh, he
missed it.
Spin.
That's right, yeah.
He saw the keeper go down and he had all of them to hit.
You got a bit dizzy.
A bit of work. Well, yeah.
The US defender Oguchi Onyewu, who I believe is going to the World Cup.
Yeah, US. Mm. Yeah, in the USA squad.
Highly rated, isn't he?
Yeah, he's...
Newcastle reject. he was terrible for us.
Do you reckon...
It's like a boom song as well, isn't it? It's like, go to Newcastle, be ridiculous, leave and come good.
Do you reckon that Colaccini, Gutierrez and Onyewu are going to hang out together?
Well, Colaccini's not going, so...
Oh, he didn't make the squad?
No, he didn't make the squad.
Just say no,
then. They've got so many defenders, you see, Argentina.
I
hope Park, Tevez and Everett get to hang out.
Yeah, don't we all?
Well, we finished talking about Argentina.
Sorry, yeah, go on.
We're talking about Onyewu. He's been injured for most of his spell at Milan.
Yeah, got an awful knee injury.
So he's said that he'll play for a season for free.
Good man.
It's good of him, yeah.
It's incredible, really.
Fair play to him. I think that's excellent. You know, and he's at least acknowledging that he's not been the best value for money because he had a horrific injury. I think it was the first game he played or something.
It was during a World Cup qualifier.
Oh, was it? Okay, yeah. So he's never actually played consistently for them. I think didn't he agree to play for free for the last year of his contract? Isn't he out of contract?
Didn't he renegotiate and a year extension?
Oh, he did. Okay, right. Okay,
but I think they're sort of saying that he's going to leave anyway. He's going to get sold to someone anyway. So it's kind of a.
Seems harsh.
Yeah. Maybe you can extend that to the new team that he's going to join. Yeah.
We'd rather just have the money for you.
We just got the Newcastle United 2006-2007 highlight video.
Sort of like when if you go to a bar and ask to buy a girl a drink, she sort of goes, can I just have the money?
Never happened.
Just me then.
Yeah.
I'm Gary Lineker and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Emails. So hot.
Oh, it's the email section.
In case there's any confusion.
Who'd like to go first? Pete.
I'll go first because I got the biggest one. Oh, yeah.
It's not the first time you said that to me, James.
He's talking about his email.
James, muff that up. This is from Patrick, an Everton fan living in Taiwan.
There was another
connection there.
We had, was it K telly in Taiwan.
Yeah, he's a Canadian in Taiwan.
Maybe they should meet up.
Yeah, we know all our mates. Listeners by name. The only show that knows all their listeners by
Taiwan's
name.
Taiwan's only a tiny place.
Anyway, Patrick says, I lived in Costa Rica for a while last year. Globetrotter.
Just showing off.
While I was there, I was lucky enough to be able to attend the Costa Rica versus USA World Cup qualifying
that
match.
That is lucky.
Actually, that's the same game Onyewa was injured in, wasn't he?
Oh, is it? Yeah.
At the Saprissa Stadium in San Jose.
Yes,
I went with a load of American friends and we were seated in the away section. The USA fans were dead silent except for one Hulk Hogan lookalike draped head to toe in the stars and stripes, who kept standing up every now and again to bellow out depressingly poor renditions of traditional English football chants. He kept getting small parts of every chant a little bit wrong. Among his arsenal of melodies included the classic "Who ate all my pies?" "Who ate all my pies?"
Was he fat?
"You only sing if you've won. You only sing if you've won." And the quite wonderful "Sit down, sit up. Sit down, sit up." I'm not even sure what that one was.
It's maybe for posture.
After a while, everyone stopped paying attention to him, yet he kept persisting on with his woeful gibberish throughout the match. Around the 80-minute mark, I looked down the steep seating into the home section and saw a tiny old Costa Rican woman slowly but surely... slowly but surely pushing her way past everyone towards the fencing that separated parts of the home support from the away. It took her a good long while to get there. She looked flustered but determined as she marched angrily towards the travelling American support. When she arrived, she moved down to the point giving her nearest proximity to the loudmouth fan she could attain, and he started yelling, "Hey! Hey, you! Hey! Hey, you! You! Hey!" When the all-American one-man support machine finally turned his head to look in her direction, she fixed him with a deadly stare and barked, "Sit down, you sweaty fucking gringo." Before immediately turning around and trudging back to where she had come from. I thought I was going to wet myself laughing. All the Americans looked a bit shocked and offended as the home crowd burst into rapturous applause and cheers. I saw one other woman in the crowd hand the old lady a beer as she walked back, like a little present for all the effort. Without breaking a stride, she popped the beer open and took a swig, carrying on her journey away from us to whichever bit of the stand that she had come from. One for the road. Keep up the good work and tell Pete that Tim Cahill is a lovely bloke who once helped me find my lost dog in the park, so we should stop hating him.
That didn't happen.
No. I reckon it was probably Tim Cahill that lost the dog in the first.
I think it's in the tree, mate. Well, how did it get in the tree, Tim Cahill?
Yeah. Kicked it there because you were trying to work out what the biggest animal you could kick over a crossbar was.
But thank you very much for that awesome email, Patrick, an Everton fan living in Taiwan.
Cheers, Patrick.
Marvellous.
Awesome.
Lukey.
Before we move on to my email, I've got something to add for the thing shouted at football grounds as well. A friend of mine reminded me of this the other day. Can you remember when the FIFA basically first decided a number of years ago that if you went down injured, you had to go off the pitch to be treated?
Yes.
Right, well, at Wycombe Wanderers.
Well.
Adams Park, Wycombe Wanderers ground, they took this to the extreme. And apparently, when that first happened, they basically... come up with a number of chants, one of which if a player went injured from the other team, they started shouting, "Treatment off the pitch, treatment, treatment off the pitch." And as if that isn't the worst chant of all time, another load of them piped up with, "New FIFA ruling, new FIFA ruling."
That's glorious.
That's definitely true as well.
Blatter directive. Oh, that's wonderful.
But anyway, I'll move on to my email now.
Yes, please.
Hi, Ramble Force.
Oh,
wow, it says here no hole.
Oh,
she doesn't get it apparently.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. I'm with her on that.
Yeah, yeah. So it's more about you than it does about us. Just to say thank you very much for all the help you have provided me and my flatmates.
That's
in
okay.
Attracting the fit footballers at uni. My ex listens to this podcast, and on a flight he convinced me that we should listen to a podcast. I have no knowledge about football at all. I'm more of a rugby girl. However, I was so tired, he won.
It's terrifying.
You'll be surprised the amount of listeners we got that way.
Under duress. Yeah.
I very much enjoyed your podcast. I found it funny. I split up with him a week later.
Related. What is this?
But since he had downloaded the next podcast onto my laptop, I listened to it. That evening, I was in the pub with some friends and the conversation turned to football. I made a remark, thanks to you, and all the boys looked at me in a new light. They believe I'm highly interested in the sport and found my chat about Jens Lehmann impressive. I had a very successful night.
It's just like a wow. Before the night, I didn't know anything.
It's like
about
a letter
football.
To Hustler magazine. Yeah.
We're an aphrodisiac suddenly.
This is the most successful the women I've ever been.
You two sitting in vest. He's in his pants. Oh, we're so sexy.
You with your sexy little moustache.
It goes on to say, I told the girls I live with about you a good way to find out a few fun facts about football. Well, you say facts. Without being bored. Let's just say Saturday mornings in our flat have never been so busy. I know what that means.
That is a statement.
Thanks again for all the help you provided, and it's signed by the girls. Kiss, kiss, kiss. P.S. The lack of names is in case you read this out and any of our friends who listen to the podcast.
I reckon the X might work it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Very specific situation.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
They sound fun.
So thanks for that. I can't relate your name. Come to the Ramble Drinks.
Please send pictures.
Yeah. Peter.
What? I'm a sexual being. I'm a very sexual person, Marcus.
Oi, I expect
very
better.
Solitary person, Marcus.
You don't expect better. You expect worse of anything.
Good email. Good
James,
email.
James, please save it.
This one's going to be disappointing.
This is what it's come to. I'm asking James to save it.
And his white wife, Peter, there.
Gentlemen, oh, as sad as I am to admit it, I do also listen to other pods, wanker. And on another of these pods, I have heard CSKO Moscow being referred to as CSKA Moscow.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because that's what they're called in Russia, apparently. Anyway, with the World Cup coming up, we can look forward to even more of that type of nonsense as various commentators try to prove how world football-wise they are by pronouncing names like they were the player's form teacher. What terrible bit of over or mispronunciation on a football commentary is the one that most annoys you? For me, it's Brian Glanville referring to Ruud van Nistelrooy as Ruud van Nieselrooy. That's from Gavin Thomas in Hastings.
I really will not have a bad word said against Brian Glanville. He was an absolute legend. But anyway,
got to steam in with Pete. Pleat straight away. Pete's all right. He can say
no,
words.
No,
it's
no.
Just his accent.
The Pleat, the worst Pleat one by
Terry Sheddingham.
That was a more of a mistake.
Yeah,
he used to do Socks Jair quite a lot.
Really annoy me.
Didn't he have a problem with Unlove? Peter Unlove a lot.
God, imagine
Peter Unlove you.
Underlove.
Even Thierry Henry had trouble with
Mick McCarthy. I remember Mick McCarthy being a co-commentator on an England game. I think they were playing the Ukraine.
Ukraine.
Yeah, and he said something along the lines of, like, they opened in minutes. Oh, I don't know about that guy, so I'm just going to call him the left back.
Oh, yeah, he
brilliant.
Did.
It's like, that's your job.
Professional.
Yeah, that's your job.
Poor, didn't it? What did Joe Flippin' Kinnear call Nzogbio?
Insomnia. Oh, they should get him in. That'd be brilliant. Remember in qualifying for Euro 2008 against Russia, when John Motson kept calling them the Soviets.
Yeah, he called
they've
them
not
the
been that for some time.
Sometimes.
They were the CIS.
But, you know, yeah, more really? Recently than the Soviets.
My two
the KGB on the ball now.
My two most annoying ones are undoubtedly recently a Drogba.
Yeah. Oh, that really bothers me.
There's no R. No. Don't add one.
And for some reason, Motson's changed Nicholas Anelka to Nicola Anelka, which sort of annoys me as well.
Yeah. Andrew Cole. That's of his own doing. Yeah, that's still annoying.
But he maintains that it's not. I mean, I read in 442 that he said they didn't actually say that.
Odd.
It just started happening. But who knows?
I can't remember which commentator it was, but they kept calling Alan Boxic.
That's annoying.
That was a bit annoying. And there was another commentator, obviously I don't remember this, but I heard about this back in the day, that he used to refuse to call Johan Cruyff. It was like Cruff. But it's ridiculous. It's like, clearly it isn't.
It's difficult though. It's difficult though. Kind of, do you pronounce it like we would pronounce it? Do you pronounce it as he would pronounce it?
Yeah.
Well, I guess you'd probably go with how he pronounced it himself. But they need to say that. They need to sort of get on the mic at the start of the game when the opera singer's singing. My name is Mr. Onyewu.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Jermaine Genus. Everyone called him Genus for ages.
Yeah, that's changed.
Even they're giving the ball away, and Unlove is trying to make them pay. But Trix is in the penalty area, it's a great goal!
Good people, it's profile time.
Is it another World Cup themed profile, Marcus?
Might not be.
Excellent.
Fill us in then, Marcus.
Teofilo Cabillas.
Oh, Peruvian!
Yes!
Gone South American again.
Again?
Yeah. And why not?
Arguably the greatest player in Peru's history.
Nobby Solano might have something to say about that.
That's why I said arguably.
Right.
He's better than Solano.
Did he play the trumpet, though?
He played three trumpets at once.
He had better hair than Solano.
He did.
Bit of a fro on him. Lovely.
He did.
He's born on March the 8th, 1949.
Oh, that's a tough one. 18 years before the summer.
That's a tough one. From the mean streets of Puente Piedra in the suburbs of Lima. And just rose to unbelievable national hero, heroic status he had for his country. He started off with Alianza Lima. He played for their youth teams at the age of 14, and he made his senior debut by the age of 16. And because he was so young, his strike partner, Leon, christened him El Nino, the baby.
Oh, nice.
By the end of his first season, he still wasn't even 17 at this point. He was the top scorer in the league with 19 goals in 23 matches. Yeah.
Great stuff.
Wow. Not even a proper striker. He was more...
Khan, who's unimpressed.
That's right. He did fantastically well with Alianza Lima. He played from 66 to 72 for them, and he scored 116 goals in 175 games.
And from midfield as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was more
so an attacking midfielder. No?
Yeah, like a support striker, attacking midfield for them. But for Peru, he was a midfielder very much so. And he was handed his international debut in 1968, and they qualified for the World Cup in 1970. 1970 World Cup, an iconic World Cup, yeah. First World Cup in colour.
Didn't Peru had a number of good players around that sort of time?
They did have a few, yeah. But he was the one who was the main man. And he played and scored in all of Peru's games.
They were knocked out by Brazil today?
Yeah, in the quarterfinals, 4-2. He scored a great goal against Bulgaria, which is sometimes shown in like a top 100.
Top corner effort.
No, that was against Bulgaria. He sort of burst through defence and slotted home. And so they beat Bulgaria. They were in a group with Bulgaria, Morocco and West Germany. And they came through that group. And they got knocked out by Brazil 4-2. I mean, that was one of the greatest sides ever.
Yeah.
They still managed to get two goals past them, didn't they?
Yeah, and he scored one of them, which was a nice little volley from the edge of the box.
It's impressive scoring in every round as well, in which they took part.
Yeah. Who else scored in every
five
round?
Goals in Zinho, wasn't it?
Correct. Zinho, yeah. 5 goals in 4 games, I think, he got in that World Cup. And he in that World Cup, he won a World Cup Young Player Award of the tournament and the Bronze Ball for third best player at the tournament, and was also named in the best 11 of that tournament.
Bronze Ball must be a heavy trophy.
Yeah, it is.
Well, he's been about 21 as well.
He was 20. His first World Cup, 20 years old, playing for Peru. They got the quarterfinals, Bronze Ball, young player, in the best 11 of the tournament.
Can't ask for more.
Incredible.
He's got another 7 years before he peaks.
I know. Ridiculous. 1972, South American Footballer of the Year, ahead of Pelé and Jairzinho.
Wow.
Stick that in your pipe, doubters.
he went to FC Basel after that in Europe. And
it's odd, isn't it?
It's an odd one. Move. He didn't really settle there, so afterwards he then signed for FC Porto and did all right there. Unfortunately, Peru didn't make it to the 74 World Cup. However, they made up for it a little bit. They won the Copa America in 1975. So he was a big part of that, but he was back for the 1978 World Cup.
Oh, this one they knocked Scotland
in Argentina.
Out.
This is when they played Scotland in the group stage. He scored 2 goals against Scotland. Have you seen them?
One was top corner.
One was 25 yards out, top corner, and what the other one was a
cracking free kick.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable. Free
not
kick.
Dissimilar, if I remember rightly. They're quite similar goals. Just one's a free kick.
Same That's corner. Right. Same corner.
Well, the free kick is unbelievable. I mean, YouTube this Kubiec v Scotland because it really is worth it. The way it's right on the edge of the box. And so the wall is protecting the goalkeeper's right-hand post.
Mm. Yeah.
And he's hit it with his right foot.
Outside of the boot.
Outside of the boot, around the wall into the top corner.
It looks like it goes through the wall.
Well, maybe it went just over the top of the wall.
But it's Ramble-tube-esque. Yeah. It's got to be.
It's a superb goal. It's absolutely brilliant. And incidentally, when José Luis Chilavert was watching as a young lad, he said, "When I saw this goal, I said, I want to take free kicks."
Wow.
That's reason
That's massive.
Itself. Yeah. They're absolutely superb. So
I'm not going to bother saving any, but
it's boring.
Yeah.
He scored a hat trick versus Iran, two of which were penalties, and Peru made it out of the groups again into the second round, which was like a second round group kind of thing, and they were knocked out unfortunately there. But that was Peru's golden generation, though they call it, and he was the main man there. Mm. So you know, a wonderful showing for Peru in World Cups. You know, perceived one of the more sort of weaker teams, yeah. I suppose. In 1979, you'll all be pleased to know that he joined George Best at Fort Lauderdale, which means he played for the North American Soccer League, otherwise known as
NASL.
Thank you very much. And apparently, he scored a 7-minute hat trick against the Los Angeles Aztecs.
So it's fair to say that he dazzled NASL.
Yeah,
hey. NASL dazzle.
NASL Flipping Dazzle.
Sounds like a team. It should be like a best of team.
Yeah, that's what the league
Nazzle Dazzle.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll come up with that maybe another week. When he was 32, Peru made it to the 82 World Cup, but they didn't make too much of an impact and they went out in the first round. And incidentally, Peru have not been at a World Cup since 1982.
Oh dear.
Which has not been.
Get him and as a manager.
That's right. He's 81 caps for Peru, 26 goals, and he played midfield.
Yeah, you know. It's a good return.
He retired from playing, but he came out of retirement after Alianza Lima, the team that he grew up with and played for, the entire team died in an aircraft crash in December 87, which is obviously the worst tragedy that's in the history of Peruvian football.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrible stuff. And so they were, it almost sounds quite insensitive.
The whole team died.
It almost sounds insensitive, but they didn't have a team, you know. So he came out of retirement in respect for the players who died and for the fans, and came back to kind of help them out a bit. So
good man.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He does some stuff as a FIFA instructor, or he has done some stuff as a FIFA instructor for a technical study group and with the Special Olympics. So he does a lot of good stuff there. He now lives in the US and has a lot of soccer academies all over the place. And just to kind of wrap up, really, his scoring record in World Cup appearances, 10 goals in 13 appearances for a midfielder for one of the, as I say, the perceived smaller teams. Only Brazilian Ronaldo, Gerd Müller, Just Fontaine, Pele, Jurgen Klinsmann and Sandor Kocic of the Mighty Maggies have scored more goals at World Cups than him.
Wow.
And give him credit, that's brilliant.
Yeah, that is unbelievably.
And to get there, that's a competitive qualifying sort of
that's
group
right.
of teams to beat.
Exactly, yeah.
He was quite a... He was a very big name at the time, obviously, wasn't he? But it seems that he's kind of been forgotten a bit in a strange way.
Which is a real shame, because he had one wonderful dribbling ability. He could shoot. He was
an important thing for a footballer.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. He's a special player, you know, playmaker. Just a joy to watch. Yeah. And Pele actually said, you know, he's my natural successor.
That's it then, isn't it? That's why he's been doomed to obscurity.
Yeah.
Kiss of death from Pele. Yeah.
Very passionate about Peru. And he said, if I was born again, I'd choose football as my job. Alianza Lima is my team and Peru is my country. Come on in, Peru.
Wouldn't we all?
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the show. If you'd like to get in touch with us, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com, and of course the website, rather similar, is thefootballramble.com. And Luke?
Yeah, don't forget Man Month. We're over at manmonth.co.uk. Our show and a blog and some Ramble videos.
It's a beautiful looking website as well. It gives us a veneer of respect,
which maybe we don't deserve.
Everything's golden.
And from the 4th of June, you can enter the competition, which is pick a number between 1 and 1 million, and you will be eligible to win some amazing, to be fair, pretty
decent,
amazing prizes. You know, probably just about pips the Ramble T-shirt to the post, I'd say. that's presented by the IGN Network and 1 Million Fragrance for Men.
47.
Stop
that one last week.
Stop this.
I want an Xbox and a HD TV.
Marcus, stop him.
Stop. do us all a flipping favour. That gives me the opportunity to say goodbye, James or Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Lukey.
Goodbye.
We're all off to...
Let's go to that girl's house. The girl's house. The house of girls.
Damn you. The US defender Oguchi Onyewu. Oguchi. Sorry.
You can see because it's got an I at the end.
I can. It's too close to the O for my.
That was my first clip.
The US defender Oguchi Onyewu. are you going to let me get this right?
We're trying. We're not doing anything other than laughing at you because you're robbing.
Call him Jeff Smith.
The US defender Oguchi Onyewu.
Oh shit, sorry.
You knob.